It's a great privilege being here, and I want to thank everyone for having me and having my wife. My wife for 25 years. Oh, but you're senior. See, how's it paying? Asked for the Peter to stand here so that we could see this. These are there are some things that are deliberate on this T-shirt. Yes. So this T-shirt is specifically made for this year's Liberty Outreach in Oshogbo. So what we have here is the map of Oshogbo, and it's deliberately on the left side where your heart is. I'm a heart surgeon, so I know a little about the heart, maybe a little more than you about the heart. So, and we want Oshogbo to be on fire for God. So that's why we want it to be, we painted it that color. It's not exactly red. And at the back, we have making people free and the things that we should do. Some people say, like Brother Peter has just said, if you can't go, you can give, you can pray. I don't have that philosophy. My philosophy is that I will go, I will give, I will pray. So, with the permission of the pastor, I hope I can take everybody to Nigeria. So, I've come from Nigeria to the US. You should also come to visit us in Nigeria and work. Thank you very much, sir. For many years, we've been, Brother Peter has said, come to Maryland, and we've never had the opportunity to do so. Most of the time, we are down south because sometimes we come here during the winter, and it's a lot better in Houston than here. But somehow we have a conference that I will have to leave from here very soon, immediately after the meeting, because I'm supposed to speak at 1:30 at the conference. I'd like us to pray. Lord, we thank you. And we ask that you open our hearts to understand what is in your own heart. We ask, Lord, in the few minutes we'll spend here, that we will have fellowship with you. Help us to touch you. Help us to reach to your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be talking about something which is very dear to me, and it's a very, very strange topic for a sermon. I'll try to walk you through what Liberty Nigeria does as we go through the sermon in just a few minutes that we have. But the topic for today is God's prayer request. You know, many times we do not realize that God has certain things He wants. And even though he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he's everything, he has several requests. And we're going to talk about one of those requests that God has, his prayer requests. You know, many times I don't know what happens here, but in Nigeria, towards the end of every year, as we get into the next year, we come with a great shopping list. Do you do it here, sir? Because he told us that in America, there's no problem. Everything is sorted out. In Nigeria, that you have problems, you have to eat corn and other things. Now, so everybody has a shopping list. And we go to God at the end of every year. God, next year, I want to do this and this and this and this and this for me. But many times, we do not realize that God himself has a request. We're going to talk about that today. But before doing that, please permit me to appreciate this church and members of the New Covenant Church in the US for your support last year when we lost our son. He was going to be a senior in chemical engineering in Louisiana when he died. And I want to th thank everyone for your prayer and your support. Thank you. This is our own opportunity to say thank you. It was this same month last year that he died. So thank you very much for all your support. Liberty, many people see liberty as an event. Oh, we're going to Liberty. It's an outreach that holds every year around October. And but one of the things we try to do in Liberty is to ensure that, because our logo is making people free, people can't wait for 1 year to get free. They must be free every day. So one of the things we do, and which you'll get to see in a short while, is are the things that we do to ensure that people are made free every day. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It's a good introduction into what we'll be discussing. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm sure we should be able to quote this passage of scripture. And I'm happy that they've been projecting the King James Version. I like the old King James Version. It's so easy to memorize passages of scriptures. And it says there, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So these were the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he went up to heaven. And he said, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And that power is to enable you to be witnesses unto me. And that's why I say I like the King James. He said, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Many times when people talk about preaching the gospel, they talk about, with this verse, they said, oh, you start from Jerusalem. The Bible didn't say so. He said, in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the challenge before us, what Jesus has left for us, is to take the gospel to Jerusalem, our own Jerusalem, and Judea nationally, and Samaria regionally, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth internationally. Now, this command by Jesus was not given just to the whole body of Christ. It was, but not just to the whole body of Christ. It's not given just to New Covenant Church in Maryland. This command that Jesus has given to us is given to me as an individual, is given to you as an individual. Jesus is saying to you, Brother Bumi, Pastor Bumi, for you shall be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's a personal conversation between Jesus and me. The challenge to reach the ends of the earth is given to me as a person, not just all of us here. So I take it as a personal conversation, a personal command from Jesus to me. I will go. That means Jesus understands, he knows that from what he has placed inside of me, I have the potential as a person, as an individual, to reach unto the ends of the earth. And that is what we are going to do. That is what he has called us to do. By God's grace, for the past since 1999, we've been having Liberty Outreaches almost every year. Started as a once yearly event, and then we'll look at the other things that we do. But by God's grace, in 2025, we're going to be having a Liberty Outreach in Liberia. It's going to be the first time we're going to be having it outside Nigeria. There's a need for the gospel, and we will go. And the Lord indeed will help us in Jesus' mighty name. How do we reach out to the lost? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, one of my favorite passages of scriptures. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." Let me say it again. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. So Jesus didn't just come to save the lost. The first thing he says here is that he came to seek for them, to save them. So when we have our strategy for winning the lost to the Lord, what he's saying here, the way I understand it, is not to invite them to church. We go to where they are. We must go to where they are. We must seek for them and then save them. We must seek for them. One of the things we do is that we have a Liberty Academy, and that academy is to train people in skills. So right now we have people in the academy in the battle. Training on computer programming, free of charge. Tiling, tailoring, carpentry, people who have no education. And we are taking them and training them free of charge. Now, one of those people who just started the academy on Saturday, it's about a week now, was a former street boy. He was a member of a cult. He was a drug addict. And just about a year ago or so, a little over a year, God laid on our hearts to reach out to these young street boys around our church. And he was the very first convert. He got saved. And I want to thank God for, and thank all of you who have been praying. I think there's some platform that we've shared some of the names of these people. Young boys, very dangerous boys. The nickname of this boy I'm talking about, for those who understand Yoruba better than myself, but I don't understand, I only understand digital Yoruba, not the analog version. His nickname, the name he was known by, is Inonjo. What does that mean, sir, in English?
Fire.
Fire is born. That's his nickname. He was a wild boy. Smelly, because he can stay for 3 weeks for taking his bath. Never had a place to stay of his own. So he will go to meet the drug lord who will give him drugs to go and sell. At the end of the day, after making the sales of the drugs, then the drug lord gives him some amount of money, gives him a place to stay, give him food, give him the drugs also too, and give him food. So that's how he's been living for years. He's 34 now. So he gave his life to Christ last year, had a rough period of discipleship, but now he's saved. He's baptized. He's gone through discipleship, and now we didn't do discipleship in church. He was too wild to be in church for discipleship. So discipleship had to be done outside. Now, this same young man, we met him outside the church, discipled him outside the church, and when he had been discipled, now brought him to church. This man has brought not less than eight other boys to church who have given their life to Christ. Each of those eight boys has brought at least two people to church, each of them. We must go out to seek for the lost. This is our first time in Maryland, and where we stay in DC, close to the convention center. Our hearts were just broken yesterday, just seeing the people around this downtown, homeless people. Those people need to be saved. When Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible says his heart was broken. And then he said, "The harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few." So when Jesus saw the multitudes, what he was seeing was harvest. We are looking at a homeless person, a dirty person, a filthy person. Jesus is seeing harvest. He's seeing souls. He's seeing people who can be saved, people whose souls will last for eternity. Who is going to reach out to them? What God has called us to do is to seek and save the lost. If we don't seek for them, they won't come here because they can't fit into this place. We must seek for them. Who reaches to the homeless here? Who reaches to the drug addicts? Who reaches to the prostitutes? Who reaches to the people in schools who are confused about whether they are male or female, whether they are cats or cows? I saw a video recently of somebody saying, "Oh, yeah, my child is a cat, so she see a veterinary doctor. Veterinary doctor refused to see him. I may sue him for that." You know, I said, "Okay, that's fine. I wish that child could wish to be a cow. Come to Nigeria. We give him to Fulani herdsmen to take him around the place." People are confused, but these people are harvests. God sees them as harvests. When God looks upon the earth, he's looking at harvest. How will these people become my children? We do a Liberty Academy, and we also help to empower people, teaching them skills to help them. So this young man, Damilare, that's his name, he has no education. He's 34 or so. He's not going to start learning, going to learn 1, 2, 3, ABC now. So he's going to learn his skill, and that's why the academy is there, and we've taken him to the academy. He's doing very well there. Just 1 week there. We have to buy him new clothes, set him up. He wore shoes for the first time, I don't know since when. So when he was going to the academy on Saturday, just a week ago, there's this young man who I also work with, who was also a former street boy. So he was taking him from where he was staying to come to meet me so we could go to Ibadan to the academy. And he met his former bosses, the drug lord. So he just met him by chance. And this brother Shegun, who is the person, I call him the pastor of those boys. So Bashegun boldly told them, said, "Damilare is going to school. He's going to learn something." And do you know those boys began to cry? The drug lord himself began to cry. And he said, "I will also come to church." Harvest. When you see these boys, you will not want to stay near them. But that odor from them, that dirtiness in them, God doesn't see those things. God is looking at the heart. These are people who need to be saved, who need to be reached, who need to be sought for. And we are the people who will do it. We also run pastoral care. So we have cell groups. We have about 40 different cell groups scattered all over Ibadan. These cell groups were started by donations from brethren who were outside the country, who decided to donate palliatives during the COVID pandemic. People could not work and there were lots of suffering. People donated money to us in Nigeria. And one of our sisters championed that. And from what was given to give garri, beans, sugar, and all of that, one day she called, she spoke with me, said, "There are people gathered every day to come and collect these things. Can we preach to them?" "Oh, let's go ahead and preach to them." And from that singular thing, we have cell groups. They are not members of New Covenant Church, but they are believers. And we meet them, give their lives to Christ. We meet them in their various cell groups. There are about 40 cell groups or so, altogether over 700 people meeting every week to pray, to study the scriptures, to know about God. Let me tell you something about what Jesus said again. Mark chapter 16, we know this very well, verse 15 to 20. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. Mark chapter 16. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe." That's me and you. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Verse 19. "So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." Full stop. Then verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere." Everywhere. Everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Many times we are looking for signs and wonders in the church. No, it's not there. It's outside. So if you tell somebody, and I challenge everybody here, especially young people like me, you've heard that God can save. Yes, he has saved you. But can he save a drug addict? Can he save a prostitute? Can he save somebody in the prison? Can he save the terrible boy or girl in the schools? Can he save them? You may say he can save them, and I'll tell you that is theory. The only way you can prove that Jesus can save them is when you go with the gospel and you talk to them and they get saved. One of those boys who came with Damilari, who Damilari brought to church, one day I sat with him, and that's the day he gave his life to Christ. He began to talk to him about Christ. And he told me, he said, "Look, sir, to be difficult for me to be saved." And I said, "Why will it be difficult? There's nothing impossible for God to do." And he said, "Look, I'm an addict to cigarettes. I smoke at least 20 sticks of cigarettes every day." So when I was talking to him about being saved, I told him, I said, "You are going to be saved today and you are going to go from 20 to zero. He looked at me and said, it's not possible. I said, it is possible. There's no way I can prove that that's possible if I had not seen it happen. And so the next day I met with him after he gave his life to Christ. How is it now? He said, I'm so, in fact, he was the one who said, excuse me, sir, something is happening. My wife called me today and said, something is wrong with you. Because I have not seen you smoke cigarette. In fact, the wife's nickname for his the pet name the wife calls him is the name of the brand of the cigarette that he smokes. That's his pet name. So she called him and said, what's happening? And so because she didn't see him smoke, she decided to come to church and took the children to church. So they came. Another boy who was is a student in the university. He's studying theater arts in Ife, at Ife. One day he came to church. He was brought by somebody else, a street boy also too. And he told me that since his secondary school days, he's been living on his own. So how have you been sustaining yourself? Oh, he says, I'm a Yahoo boy. I go on the internet, that's what I do, that's how I sustain myself. So he got saved. And then a few weeks later, when those coming to the church for the first time were being welcomed after the service, he came and stood by me and said, sir, those three people there, I brought them to church. I said, well, you did? He said, yes. That he told him that if you can go to church, we must go to church. So there is harvest. The believers went everywhere. There were no limits. There were no restrictions. So the third thing we do in Liberty is our secondary schools and schools outreach in general. You saw a video of one of the schools, the Shekpeteri Nursery and Primary School. We have another school in Atimini. And one of the things we do in those nursery and primary schools is to introduce the people, because it's in Muslim-dominated areas. So what we do is offer them really almost free education. We have to pay their teachers, and we have to get them into school. And when they come into school, the mission, because each of the schools has a board, the mission of the board of the school is to ensure, apart from running the school and ensuring the good academic standards, is to ensure that every child who comes into our school gets saved, get baptized in water, and get baptized in the Holy Spirit before they finish. Every child must do that. And that is what we want to do. We also have a secondary schools outreach. Now, this secondary schools outreach is in a few places. We have in Lagos, we have in Fiditi, you know, your state. We have in Ile-Ife, we have in Oshu. We're going to start one very soon in Onitsha. We don't have a New Covenant Church in Onitsha, but we're going to start a secondary schools outreach there. Now, what do we do? Why do we think about going to secondary schools? In Osun State, where I live and work, there was a day when some students were told to do, it was a directive from the state government. They call it talent show. So it was a talent show. So you come and show your talent. Come and demonstrate whatever talent you have. So this particular day, about 2 or so years ago, it was a talent show day in the secondary school. And this boy came out to show his own talent. So when he was showing his talent, he began to speak incantations. He was what? Secondary school. He began to speak incantations. And As he was speaking the incantations, people started seeing fire coming out from his mouth. A really demonized boy. And then people were in awe. After that, some girls from the same secondary school were going to show their own talent. So they began to sing and to dance, but they were dancing songs to the river goddess. And as they began to sing and to dance, they had as like an acute mental breakdown. No one could control them. Eventually, they called their parents to come in. And the parents came. And they said to the teachers, "You people are very lucky that there was no body of water around here. Otherwise, these girls, with what happened to them, will have jumped into the water and nobody will see them again." So, people are demonized from the secondary school. Of course, you've heard many stories about Nigeria. Most of them are very bad stories. Isn't it? Very bad stories. Boko Haram started their terrible work. And when they wanted to get international recognition or whatever, they went to secondary school. Another group went to secondary school. So the first set of people they were going to kidnap were secondary school. Why was the enemy targeting secondary schools? Because if he can get the secondary schools, then he gets our future. So the church has to go to those schools. So that's how we have the secondary school outreach. So apart from our nursery and primary schools that we run, we go to secondary schools. So what do we do when we go there? We went to a secondary school when we were applying the Fidelity Liberty Outreach in 2021. So while we're applying the outreach, we went to these schools. "Oh, we want to come and visit your school. We want to tell you about mental health, drug abuse, and then academic excellence." We'll have professionals who, and the principals were very happy. And then one of the schools, which is the biggest school in Fidelity, they have, I think, about 1,000 students, if not more. They offer science, but they had no physics teacher. So what Liberty did was to get a brother who is firebrand for God and a physics teacher. And we've employed him in that school. We pay him every month since 2001 till today. Gotten a house for him. So because the school is not paying his salary, he has freedom to preach to anybody in the school. So we have a great school outreach in Fidelity right now. One of the reasons is because of this brother who is there. So we said, "Okay, we'll meet your needs." And then you meet our needs. Our need is for these people to be saved. So we have a secondary school's outreach where we go to meet the students. We give them food, give them snacks. We speak to them about the gospel. We have a discipleship program for them. And then we do tutorials for them, free tutorials. We teach them mathematics, English, physics, chemistry every week. They are brethren who are volunteers, not on any salary. They go there every week to teach these children. About 4 months ago or so, we did water baptism for some of them. They're not members of New Covenant Church, but they are believers. Shortly before then, we had a program, special program for them, and over 40 of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is Liberty, making people free. It's not an October outreach. It's a daily thing that we want to do for the Lord. We also have a film. And for those who will come to Oshogbo this year, you will see the film that we have. We'll have a film called Hatima. We intend putting it on YouTube very soon, but we want to premiere it in schools before we put it on YouTube. We acted it together with Mount Zion Faith Ministries. So those who will come to Oshogbo, you will see the Hatima film. We're going to show it in Oshogbo. We also do healthcare and, of course, potable water. The good news is that for Shepherd Terry, we have gotten some money and we have started work on renovating the Shepherd Terry School. So, if you did not give to a Shepherd Terry School, then your punishment is that you give to something bigger. As we speak, the borehole is being immersed. They shared pictures with me a few days ago. So I'm sure by now they'll have heat water. Yeah. So the borehole is already up and running in Shepherd Terry, and this all the renovation work has started. Now, so how can you get involved? Brother Peter has already preached to us about that. You pray, because every outreach to the lost is warfare. The enemy will not readily give up people who are in his custody. So we have to fight, we have to war for every single one of those souls. And I remember having this, the first time meeting these street boys last year. It was tough. It was a tough period for us. I'm a university lecturer. I'm a professor. I'm a heart surgeon. Now, last year, the university lecturers were on strike. And the government said, we're not going to pay you your salary. So we had no salaries for 8 months. And in the midst of that, I had ministry to the street boys. And there's no way you will have ministry to the street boys that you won't spend your money. And I had no salary for 8 months. So we said, pray. The next thing, what Peter told us was, give. So I prayed to God. I said, God, you have to help me to reach these boys. I don't have money to reach them. But I want you to provide. I have skills. The government is not paying me. But I have skills. Please provide me a job that I will earn. I need a lot more money than my salary to cater for these boys. Help me. Give me a job so that I can take care of these boys. You want to hear what happened? Yeah, sure. Maybe you hear it in Oshogo. So as I prayed that prayer, the first thing God told me was, this young man called Shegun, who has a former street boy who you are going out with, I want you to adopt him as your son. My wife is hearing it for the first time. Adopt him as your son. Because he had mentioned to me almost a year before my son died that my son was going to die. And he mentioned it to her a few months before he died. So he said, adopt him as your son. And if he was in Nigeria, whatever you give your daughter, I have a daughter who is schooling in the university in Nigeria, whatever you give her every month, give to him. It's okay, Lord. So the first month, I paid, gave him what I usually give my daughter as an allowance. The next month, my son died. But that same month, I started giving this young man the allowance. The hospital started looking for me. We need you to come and do surgery for us. We have a vacancy. We need you. They sent a vehicle, come and pick you, come and pick me, come to the hospital, come and do interview. There was no interview. So, they employed me as a visiting doctor to their hospital. I won't tell you what I earn. But what I earn by government service in a month, I earn there in 1 day. 1 day I go there is what I earn, the whole month's time. So I can take care of the boys now. So once I got that, could now go and take care of you. Yeah, come. What's happening? We could not go. So God, don't, when you want to give, don't give based on what you have in your pocket. Give based on what God tells you to give. So don't look for what is left to give to Liberty. No. Don't do that. Give what God tells you. We learned this lesson when we were, I think we had this meeting with Brother Paul. We're young doctors. We had no job. We just finished our national service and we had no job. We were in Ibadan then. So why in Ibadan? Our pastor of a center, small center we're attending, called us one day and said, I'm going for a meeting. Will you follow me? We had nothing to do. We're preparing for our postgraduate exam, so we had nothing to do, no job. Oh, let's go. So we went. We didn't even know what we were going for. We now discovered that the meeting was a meeting called, it was a New Covenant, a Covenant Partners meeting. And the meeting, when we look at the caliber of people who were there, we saw that, like those 10 spies, they were less than grasshoppers. We had no bank account. All the money we had at home and abroad was in my pocket. And it was less than 300 naira. So we said, let's enjoy ourselves. So we got to a point where Paul came up and was talking and said about giving to build the national headquarters in Ibadan. This was 1998, 1998, or early 99. I think it was January 1999. So he said, after I finished everything, he now said, you're going to give, but don't just give what you have. Ask God what he wants you to give. So that was strange to us. So he was sitting by my side. So we bowed our heads and started praying. I said, God, what do you want us to give? But in the back of my mind, I said, God, you know very well what I have here. I don't have a job. I don't have a job. Now we're to give whatever we're to give over 3 months. So when the prayer was over and the ushers went around, started going around with a piece of paper, write down what you pledge. I quickly looked at my wife and said, because God told me what to give. And I was shocked. God told me to give, to pledge 10,000 naira then. I have no job. 300 naira in my pocket. So I turned to my wife, did God tell you anything? She said, yes. God says we should give 10,000 naira. So we now have to discuss amongst ourselves. Is your 10,000 a confirmation of my 10,000, or does God want us to give 20,000? So eventually we pledged 20,000 naira. That month, I got a job. My monthly salary was how much? 10,000 naira. The next month, my wife got a job. Her salary was 10,000 naira. By the third month, we paid our pledge. By that second month, when she paid her pledge, she took him for our first child. We had been married for some months then, and she had never, I don't think she had missed her period before then. Got a child, got a covenant against poverty. When you see me, I'm not looking at somebody who is eating agbado and cassava and that, because God is the one providing for me. So when you want to give, Don't give based on what you have in your pocket, on your bank. Give what God tells you to give. Because when He tells you, when God tells you to do something, He usually tells you to do something that is bigger than what you can do by your own self. Finally, Jesus wants us to go. So don't say, I'm sending my money. Don't send your money. Go yourself. Don't send your prayer. Go. Pray. And we have Towards the Oshobo Legacy Outreach fortnightly prayers on Zoom. You can join. I usually will post it on the Liberty US platform. So join. Pray. But plan to go. I've told you ahead of time, 2025, we're going to Liberia. If you want to come to Nigeria and you don't have your Nigerian passport has expired, like Brother Peter, or you don't have visa, there's visa on arrival. We'll process it for you. But plan to go. And there is absolutely no reason under the sun why US can organize a Liberty Outreach. I will come. God will provide money for me to come.
Amen.
But why can't you organize a Liberty Outreach in US? It's not going to be like the one in Nigeria because the strategies will be different. But we must reach out to these people. We must go to where they are. We must touch them with the gospel. We must show them that we care and we love them. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 will be our final scripture. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. And this indeed, like all the things I've been saying, is God's prayer request. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Can we read it out together? Let's read what is projected. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. This is God's prayer request. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? There's what is called in military, in warfare, boots on the ground. You can have whatever missiles you have and warplanes. But you must have boots on the ground to be able to conquer a territory. If you don't have boots on the ground, you can't conquer the territory. We are God's boots on the ground. We're supposed to be on the ground. And God, with all his arsenal, everything for the warfare, is asking this question: who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Just imagine him talking to you about this and asking you, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And you answer his prayer like Isaiah did. Isaiah said, God, I will answer your prayer. You're looking for somebody. Here I am. Send me. Who will answer God's prayer? One of the problems that we have, and I say we, all of us, me inclusive, is that our hearts have become so hardened. So hard. We see people on the streets, we are seeing them like trees, not as men. We are so used to seeing the homeless, so we just pass by them. Somebody is coming this way, you go the other way. Our hearts have become so hardened. Our eyes have become so dry. When was the last time you wept for those people? When was the last time you wept for an unbeliever? When was the last time God woke you up at night and said, pray for this person to be saved? So our hearts have become so hardened and our eyes have become so dry. We don't weep again. We hear about shootings. It's so, we are now immune to the hurts of those families. We don't even think about it again. Because evil has become so much, the Bible says, the love of many will wax cold. So our love has waxed cold. So can we go to the Lord today and make a decision and say, Lord, I want you to touch my heart. I want you to touch my emotions. I need a revival of the ministry of tears. I need to be able to weep for the lost. I need to be able to feel for them. I need to be able to have compassion for them. Can you just pray this morning and just talk to the Lord? Father, please help me. I want to make people free, but I need to seek them. Lord, take me out of my seat, my place of rest. Let's talk to the Lord this morning. Thank you. Lord Jesus, when you were leaving the earth, your last command to us was to go. In Isaiah, you let us know in Isaiah chapter 6 that that issue of going has been there even from the Old Testament. You said, who will go for us? Father, I pray for myself and for my brethren who are here that you will touch our hearts, melt our hardened hearts. Enable us to weep again for the lost. Help us, O God, to see the lost as harvest. Help us, Lord, to break through every barriers and limitations that men have put on our way to prevent us from preaching your word to them. And help us, Father, that we will be ministers of you. That when you see us, you'll be happy. Your word says you will see the travail of your soul and be satisfied. We ask the Lord, you will help us that this will be our own testimony, that we will live forth from here today and we will be answers to your own prayer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord. So we have heard the word of God today. As we determine in our hearts, may the Lord help us. Amen. May we all stand up as we say the grace together.